guess I would have to say something.
Yeah, that'd be your cue.
Hey, I was listening to Folsom Prison Blues, deciding if I wanted to play that later in the show. Hey, boy. Bill's talking about the guy with the 7-second memory during the break. Apparently, it's contagious. My name's Aaron Ryan, and I guess I probably should confess that at this point.
Yeah, I would.
Mr. Cundiff, who's our sponsor?
Well, my name's Bill Cundiff, and
I already told him that.
Oh, you did?
I just pretended Mr. was your first name.
I forgot. It was 7 seconds ago. Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located up on 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you need a tractor or a mower or implements, go up and see them. They've got it all. Got a pretty good inventory right now. Go up and see what they've got. If you need parts or service, they've got shop and parts on hand. Pretty good bunch of guys up there that can take care of you. They also have Honda generators in stock. Kind of run a little bit low on those, but they do have a fairly good selection of them. Get them while they're hot. Winter's coming.
Forget them while it's hot.
Yeah, while it's hot, and PG&E doesn't thaw your turkey out. You can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I got caught up in Folsom County Blues or Folsom Prison Blues because I guess I was thinking about, you know, where the people who did all this stuff in Arizona should end up. Just fishing for the right song, you know?
Yeah.
So Dr. Lyle Rapacki is here with us. We will have another hour that goes by. Like, if you want to time travel with us, you are on the right. You're on the right show because this will be a really super fast hour. So, Dr. Lyle.
No, we were talking about the Arizona audit and some of the things that were discovered and reported by the Arizona Senate. And I was kind of hoping maybe for the folks that haven't really been following this closely, you could go over some of the – and you've already discussed a few of the things, but some of the details of
the – actual findings?
The findings that came out in that audit. We watched I watched part of it. I think Aaron watched all of it online last week. They read the findings, and just from what I watched, I was pretty shocked at the level of deception that went on.
Well, and if you know anything about how computers work at all, I mean, if that is something that interests you, the findings from, and I did not catch his name. You could help us with that, but he was the guy who got into all the IP addresses and how many of them were duplicated and all these different things that they did. If you have any knowledge at all about how computers work, that section was amazing. If you were not a computer person, it was like watching paint dry. But the cyber ninjas, I know when they gave that report, that stuff was all very understandable for regular people. And Lyle, what was the part? I missed it. So I got a phone call in the middle, and I turned the sound way down, and the cyber ninjas reported on something where everyone in the room started cheering. You could hear everybody cheering, and it was like they had evidence of something that I think was going to track to actual people, and everybody started cheering. Do you remember what that was?
Well,
I didn't want to go back and watch the whole thing again.
Yeah, you'll have to go back. I could misspeak. Basically, again, what was being presented was conclusive evidence that people had access to those machines that should not have. Multiple people were accessing the machines, and yet their names were erased and or the information as to when they logged in and all that were erased, and it was through forensic that they were able to recapture it through echoing. I don't understand that, but that was a huge, huge finding. It goes back to security logs were to be kept for 22 months after an election, and yet the logs were either not kept, and that's now been proven, or they were not provided. So, again, that's a serious crime. The credentialing system.
Uh-oh,
you're cutting out.
You're cutting out large chunks of time there. Bill had a theory on why maybe. Do you have one of those magnetic pocket protectors on? Apparently Bill used to have one, and he thought potentially that was causing some interference.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe you might be moving around or something, because your signal comes in real clear and then it fizzles out. So could you repeat that last part again?
The security logs. Can you hear me okay?
Kind of.
Really? I can hear you very clearly.
Okay.
The security logs.
Perfect.
The security logs are to be kept for 22 months after an election. And the logs were either not kept or they were not provided for the audit pursuant to subpoena. That's a very serious charge. Another serious charge that has been validated through this forensic evaluation is the credential system shared the same password. Therefore, there was no accountability as to who used or had access. No names, dates, or times. This is absolutely egregious and a violation of federal statute. So it was proven that the machinery has been compromised. Likewise, accounts were purged prior to February 1st. That's now been proven. Dominion came in and did their own audit, I think twice, because the county said we've done it twice. What they didn't tell everybody is who did the audit. It was Dominion. So Dominion did it on their own machines. That's the fox looking after the hen house and telling the farmer, no, there's nothing wrong here. We have a couple of chickens missing, but I think they'll come back at night. Wow. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. That's okay. That's pretty unbelievable.
Likewise, it's terribly unbelievable. The only people who had access to the machines was Dominion. Wow. That goes against law also.
Yeah.
So when questioned, the supervisors lied, the recorders lied, but through evaluation, it all came out that none of them had access to the machines as they alleged. So therefore, the only people who had access to those machines were Dominion, whose machines they were. Well, that's a whole show in itself of just unconscionable lying, collusion, deception. It's just unconscionable. Like I said already, internet activity was proven. That's, again, is a felony. You are not to have internet activity available on computer on voting systems, and this has now been proven. They went ahead and erased the internet activity, making it minimal. But that was proven also, showing that they now came in and doctored their own crime scene. So you've got mistake after mistake, where you've got crime upon crime. The findings also showed that 1,455 ballots had no signatures whatsoever. Well, they're to be purged, but they were counted. So when it goes back to Biden winning by 10,000 votes, it wasn't the ninja's position to prove otherwise. That's not what was going on here. What they were to do is come and take a look at all the information and put it in a reliable, usable framework and give it to the Senate so the Senate could make a determination. Well, one of the pieces of information they uncovered was what I just said. 1,455 ballots had no signatures whatsoever, yet they were counted. 587 ballots had what's considered bad signatures. A bad signature can either be a scribble, non-legible, or as in multiple cases, a simple line, just a line. I don't know how to describe it to your folks, your listeners, but it's just a line. Let me just draw a little line. I mean, I might as well draw a tic-tac-toe. I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, it's not a signature.
They showed that on the part I watched. They showed examples of some of the
bad signatures
uh-huh. and no signatures that were actually stamped, certified.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. Then you had 934 ballots that were late returns, meaning they were not even submitted during the election day. They came in later, and they were not military or something that would have an explainable. There were 16,934 voters with two ballots. Well, let's pause right there. That's 16,934 that voted on two separate ballots.
Now, would that invalidate both of them, or would that just invalidate one of the two?
Well, clearly it would invalidate one.
Yeah.
Clearly. But that's a decision that the Attorney General is going to have to make.
Yeah. But again,
564. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I was just going to say that's 8,000 votes right there that they've got to toss out just on the duplicate, the ones that were duplicated twice, but duplicates, triple duplicates as well?
There was 564, and then triple, and then 16 voted four times.
Jeez.
So right there, that last part.
Vote early and vote often. Hey, Lyle, before you go past that part too, in the long presentation they did for the Senate, they also showed that the duplicate ballots came in on different dates. It wasn't like when they showed the envelopes, they showed it came in on this date, then a week later, and then 2 weeks later, and
The same ballot with different dates
With different dates written on it, but the same ballot inside.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's a neat trick,
and
too.
That suggests a criminal act. Mm-hmm. All of that was turned over to the Attorney General, which is what it should have been. It was uncovered. It was then presented to the chief law enforcement officer for further investigation by a law enforcement agency. Again, the ninjas and the ballot forensic team have no authority, nor does the Senate. This is what people don't get.
Yeah.
They have now taken this report and given it to the Attorney General. The Attorney General has all of this information plus, and now has to go through it with criminal investigators and cybersecurity investigators who are all sworn peace officers. They then take a look at whether the evidence, not theory, but the evidence will stand the testing of time and scrutiny. And if it does, then I guess the Attorney General has a decision to make.
Right. Now, one other question I had was on these duplicate ballots. I didn't get the feeling, or maybe I didn't catch it, which way these ballots voted? Were they all Democratic? Were they half and half? I mean,
they didn't really say.
Did they say, how
no,
they voted?
They did not. No, they did.
Okay.
No, they did not. And that wasn't their charge.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a really quick break before we head into the next the rest of the segment on this. This is all the evidence. So the Arizona audit was laying out all the evidence. It was not, and I guess people really have to think about it. We all say that, we stand behind the Constitution and all that, but people want the folks that make the laws to enforce the laws. And, our founders were smart. They thought there might be corruption if that happened. So the people who make the laws are the Arizona Senate. God help us all. California Senate does it too. all right, that's a whole different show. A whole different level of problems. But the Arizona Senate, once they have that information, it has to go to people who can carry out the laws.
And then prosecute or not.
That has to be done by two different bodies. So nobody panic, but the data has come out. It's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. It's the 26th of September, 2021, so you can find this later on today. It'll be online at wethepeopleradio.us. Was the Arizona audit the musical?
So is Honesty Lonely, Lyle?
It's been... pretty much. Well, you know, part of the problem is people are angry. They're livid.
Sure.
They across the nation, and rightly so. And I hope they remain livid. There was a coup. I said in my speech, again, I don't mean to be self-serving, but if people go to my website, they'll see the speech. I talked about how America experienced an attack much like Pearl Harbor. But we didn't have burning ships and buildings like Pearl Harbor Day had. But we, make no mistake, experienced a very sophisticated, very formal, very well orchestrated attack on this nation to remove a sitting president who was a threat to the globalists and to put in a puppet to the globalists who was easily blackmailed. And I believe he was. I believe he is. I believe that's how we got out of Afghanistan so quickly. China pulled the plug and said, you, Joe, either get out and leave all that material or we're going to release all the findings we have on you and your son. And within minutes, in essence, look what happened. We're out of Afghanistan and left $80 billion worth of materials. We're in some real trouble. And I believe the American people, rightly so, are livid. And they were hoping that with the advent of this audit, and now with the audit, things would change within minutes after the audit was given. So as the presentation was made and it finished, at that point in time, there would be a move by a senator to do what? Decertify or whatever. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It just does not work that way. And I understand why people are angry, why they're scared, actually. Just take a look at the last 8 months of this nation's demise. It's going quick and quick. On my show tomorrow on Arizona Today, which it's not live, we do it and then we edit it, get it out, but I have a person who's been with you guys a couple of times, Claire Lopez, who I've known for, 14, 15 years. And she's a former CIA operative. And what we're going to talk about is the demise of America as a superpower. And this is well planned. Everything from the border demise to the economy, to the political, to the economic situation that if they pass this H.R. 1, we're doomed. We'll never recover. What we'll have is a Marxist economic society. And this is all part of the plan. So again, you go back to this election. When people realized that Biden won more votes than Obama on his second run
yeah.
for office.
All right.
Are you seriously?
Yeah.
And then what was leaked, we're talking 9 months ago, and then what came out in that one-day hearing was preliminary evidence. It was important, but it was preliminary. There was also some prima facie evidence, meaning we had more than just some evidentiary things. We had some conclusive evidence, and it was presented. I can tell you that the next day in a secure briefing with Senate and House leadership, additional evidence was presented to show them in a closed-door hearing why they needed to move, why the Senate should then move ahead and order not only subpoenas for evidence, but also do a further investigation and have the Committee on the Judiciary order those subpoenas, which they ended up doing. But it took a good couple of weeks to teach even the Senate lawyers about the Constitution. And I'm not making this up. I was aghast. I was dumbfounded. I don't know much about computers, and everyone who knows me knows this. No one even raises an eyebrow when I say that. But if I then came forward and tried to pretend that I'm a computer something, well, that's so wrong. And likewise, if you're an attorney and you're sitting here dictating constitutional law that you have no idea what you're talking about, and then you come find out you really didn't take any in law school because they don't teach anymore, that is just, that's appalling.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And so it took time. And the same thing has happened in other states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and other states. Because there's such a gap in knowledge nowadays that a lot of time over these last 9 months has been educating the proper people as to what their authority is, what is the process. I mean, back to the audit, there was a confirmed breach on Election Day regarding unauthorized access to the public-facing servers. That's been confirmed. Of course, Maricopa County didn't say that. It was done by the forensic evaluation. So we had confirmed breaches on Election Day. Man, let's just stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's already been three or four things that I've delivered to y'all that just them alone, just that one alone, really creates real concern. And here's just another one. 11 hard drives of cloned data was received from Maricopa County. So in other words, they did go ahead and adhere to a subpoena, finally. So 11 hard drives of cloned data were received, but they were altered.
Oh, boy.
So once again, you know, this is evidence. This is not theories. This is not hypotheticals. It's like going into a crime scene and you recover the gun. And, excuse me, guys, you recover the gun. You got fingerprints on the gun, but the bullets have been removed. Therefore, you can't say that these bullets were used in the crime. However, the bullet that's in the body of the deceased matches the weapon, and you go back in forensically, and you are able to tell by powder burns and residue that the weapon was used, and here's the fingerprints of the weapon. And oh, by the way, take a look at the serial numbers and or other markings, and it ties up with the owner of the weapon. And that's kind of what you have here. Mm-hmm. Thousands of serial numbers, and we kind of hinted at this already, thousands of serial numbers were printed lightly, or they were very obscured, and that's what contributed to the no signature discussion. Or bad signatures. So you had both no signatures. In other words, they could not constitute that ballot as an official legal ballot because there was no signature whatsoever, or it was a bad signature. There were thousands of duplicate ballots without serial numbers in ballot boxes. Now, that hasn't been, we have to take a look at those ballot boxes. There's a problem there also, which was submitted obiter dictum to the Senate, meaning just in passing, it was not highlighted. And that is, chain of custody was violated on multiple occasions by the county. And so that has to be looked into by a law enforcement agency, the Attorney General, because there were duplicate ballots without serial numbers sitting in boxes. Well, what the heck is that all about?
Now, when you say say serial numbers, where do the serial numbers come
without
from?
Without serial.
No, but where do those serial numbers originate? I mean, are they put on the ballot after it goes through a ballot box?
No. When the ballot is printed for official use, there is a serial number placed on that ballot.
Okay.
And it matches multiple locations so that ballot can be tracked.
Okay.
Where that ballot goes. So it comes from just, for anybody listening, just listen to the analogy. That's all this is. Oh my gosh. Otherwise, contact Aaron. Don't contact me. Aaron, watch. Well, he said, please. ABC printing. Parentheses, viewers, listeners, I'm making an analogy. That's all this is. ABC printing prints up 100,000 voting ballots. They are licensed to print it. They print the ballots. The ballots meet the criteria furnished by the state, whatever state that is. They have protocols in place so the ballots cannot be forged or duplicated, kind of like our currency.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what happened was ballots came forward without serial numbers, and they were placed in ballot boxes. Well, how did they get into those ballot boxes? We don't know. Where were they printed? We don't know. Can we find out? Most likely, but that was not that requires an investigation. That was not the venue of the audit or even the Senate. But thousands of duplicate ballots without serial numbers appeared and were located in ballot boxes. We now know also that the public server, as I've already discussed, was hacked, not only on Election Day, but previously. We already know now, I've discussed, that entries in security logs were deleted. Why and by whom? Well, that's a little nebulous, although there's some preliminary evidence that is going to come forward. And it's going to require some further investigation. Access was denied by the county, so the county would not allow the auditors access to those security logs. Why? When they were supposed to I think I need an aspirin. They were to or Mannemaker's mark. They were to agree to the subpoenas and furnish all materials, and the subpoena was very specific. They did not do it. So again, that's a contempt of court, that's a contempt of the Senate, and that's not a make-up thing, that is an actual violation of the Senate. Again, the Senate could have had them arrested, they didn't. We could argue that one politically all you want. But the Senate had the authority to send the Sergeant of Arms of the Senate, along with Department of Public Safety officers, and arrest the supervisors and county recorder and elections official and bring them to the Senate. I'm not making this up. The Senate does not have a jail. Don't go there, people. But the Senate could have held them all day until the end of the day and then escort them back to their home, and they would have been under guard. until the next day when they were brought back down to the Senate. This could have gone on as long as those county supervisors and elections people wanted to play this game, or they would have furnished the documents and the materials and the machinery that was requested pursuant to the subpoenas. They didn't do that. I would have arrested their ass.
So do you think that didn't happen because they didn't know they had that authority?
No, I think it didn't happen because there's politics involved, and I think also it didn't happen because, as I explained to somebody just this morning or early, who called me from Washington, wanting to know why did the Senate capitulate, why didn't the Senate do this, how come the GOP this, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, you have to appreciate that the Senate does not have the authority to do some of the things you're suggesting.
Yeah. Right.
The Senate also is held by a thin, thin margin. Right now, it's a 16-14 Senate. 16 Republicans, 14 Democrats. One of the 16 is a rhino. No, actually, he's a Democrat. He just ran as a Republican to make it look good in his district. But Boyers, Senator Boyers, he has already turned coat a couple of times.
Oh, he's the one who opposed the audit in the first place, right?
He's the one that came out in favor of the audit, told the caucus, you're right, there's enough preliminary evidence to warrant an audit, and then went to the floor to vote for it and turned his vote into a nay.
Yeah.
He lied to his caucus. He lied to his precinct. He lied to his legislative district. You quote me. He lied. He lied bold-faced, and that's what Democrats do. They lie.
And he's period. The guy that they pull for all the interviews. They pull him for all the interviews because, quote, he's a Republican and he's against it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that he's almost bought and paid for by the educational lobby, well, that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Just a coincidence.
You've got evidence now upon evidence upon evidence that is credible. It's not theory. It's not theoretical. It's not hypothetical. We now have the forensic evaluations, all of which has now been turned into the Attorney General, from which he then, with his investigators, law enforcement, sworn law enforcement professionals, will now look at this evidence and either require some additional fine-tuning or require some additional information or act on it, and also will go actually a couple of steps further that they can, where the Senate and, of course, the auditor team could not. They don't have the authority. So now it's in the hands of the Attorney General, who has great latitude here, and it really falls on his lap. Now, what are you going to do, Bronovich?
We have to take a real quick break. When we come back, maybe you can give us a little insight there, since, let's face it, most people don't follow what their own Attorney General's doing, much less the one in a different state. So our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. We're talking about the results of the Arizona audit, and the results are out and shocking, and it's far from over, actually. This is just the evidence-gathering part. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you could find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Wonder who's cheating who, and who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right to someone tonight, whose car is parked next door.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Yeah.
Yeah, not closing my eyes for a while.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, this isn't the time to bail out. There's a lot coming. Lyle, what should people know about the Attorney General and all that? What's your candid appraisal?
he's been given an opportunity.
Oh, yeah, opportunity. I was thinking a bag of crap, but okay, yeah, opportunity.
Yeah, but he's been given an opportunity to make right something that is terribly wrong. The argument that is being put forward is that the certification of the election was unconstitutional. Therefore, it should not have been certified. Going back to November, the election did not have to be certified within a couple of days. They had until January 16th, actually. And so Ducey was informed, and so was Brnovich and Hobbs, the Secretary of State, to not certify the election, but to wait because there was sufficient cause to be concerned. There were sufficient questions. And the November 30th hearing in Phoenix was very important because it presented prima facie evidence that crimes have been committed and the Constitution of the state, if not the nation, had been violated. That alone would cause for a decertification of the election. Furthermore, the plenary powers given to the legislature rule supreme, meaning it's the legislature that has the authority to call itself into special session if the governor refuses, and to move with a majority in each house to decertify if the governor will not. In this case, the election, what's being argued and what has been put forward now in evidence to the Attorney General, is that the election was not conducted pursuant to Arizona law under the Arizona Constitution, and consequently anything that occurred after November 3rd became not legal. So that's what the Attorney General has to sort through now. The investigation, if you'll allow me that, has been conducted. He may wish to go further. That's his prerogative. He has the statutory authority, the law enforcement authority to do so, but all the evidence has been handed to him to take a look at. I pray he does not go to a grand jury because we'll never see the end of it. It'll go into a dark hole. If he goes ahead and acts on the evidence, then he's got some serious decisions to make, and I pray that he is strong enough to do so. There are multiple decisions here, including possible indictments, arrests. There are very serious crimes committed here, multiple felonies, four or five that I'm aware of. There may be more. Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution gives the Senate the authority to do what it's done, and that's what had to be taught all over the United States. That's where these other states have now come forward. They've learned from Arizona. They've not made fun of Arizona. The mistakes that Arizona's made, no one has made fun of that I'm aware of, except the people, the liberals, the internet people. But the other states have not. They understand this. This was totally, totally virgin territory. There was no rule book. There was no map. So they borrowed from Arizona, and that's why they've been able to move ahead much quicker, because they can sidestep the mistakes that Arizona made, and hooray for them. Now, with the evidence that's come forward, I can tell you that four states are very much looking and have gone through, going through the evidence packets, and they're finding very similar circumstances in their states. Well, that matches with what was handed to me back in January 24th, when that person came forward and said, I have manuals, training manuals, I have this, I have that, excuse me, all related to how they intend to turn this election. I mean, think about it, folks. On election night, don't you think it's pretty odd that in multiple states, we're talking five, six, seven states, at around midnight all the electoral processes shut down.
Yeah.
And then they opened up again at, 6 in the morning. Well, gee, go back and read the manuals, go back and read the training. That's what was planned. This whole thing was so well orchestrated, it was phenomenal. And so when you begin to calmly put all this together, you'll find that it's very daunting. It's multiple layers. It's not simple. And then, since we've never been down this road, where do we go with this? Well, in this case, the right thing was done, much to the frustration of people, because they wanted the report from the NHTSA to come in. Decertification starts right away. You can't do that. The Senate cannot decertify.
Right.
Both houses have to meet. It's just people don't know, and they're mad, and I believe they should be mad. We've had a coup or an attack, like I said, like Pearl Harbor. I've used that publicly. If they go to my website, you'll see the speech. It was an attack. This country was attacked. And that's not theatrical, folks. That is exactly what happened in a very sophisticated manner. And take a look at the results of that attack. We're 8 months later. Take a look at our nation compared to where we were 8 months ago. Tell me we're not in trouble? Oh, jeez. So now the evidence has been presented. It was stellar evidence. It will withstand the test of scrutiny. The amount of attacks on this entire process has been exhausting. One time, I think you all know this, 27 attorneys were sent out to Phoenix to block the audit. I forget how much they were all paid. It was well over $1 million. And they came out here to find legal reason. They went to court. Court threw it out because their arguments weren't solid. Well, there was one day where the audit was stopped for about a day and a half because of a legal argument. People have forgotten about that.
And this is all when they tried to stop the audit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes on and on. I mean, the attacks, it's been a daunting process. You take a look at Representative Finchem. He's lost money. They were trying to impeach him. They tried to bring him up on charges in the House of Representatives, on ethics charges. All of it was defeated, but you have to go through all that. Bill, you know this, Aaron, you know this. I start calling Aaron a bad name or calling Bill a bad name, and then I come up with all sorts of phony stuff, and I say Aaron's really a jerk, or Bill is, and blah, blah, and I put all this stuff out. 99% of it is so egregiously wrong. There may be one little element, you know, but 99% is so wrong. But look what you have to do. You have to go through the emotional process, and then you have to go through maybe the legal process to defend yourself and to combat all of this. It's exhausting. It's time-consuming. Representative Finchem's lost. I know he paid out of his own pocket. He doesn't discuss it, but I can tell you now. He paid out of his own pocket for that one day down at the hearing on November 30th. He put it on his American Express card. I'm not making this up. Like $25,000 or a little bit more. There was no monies. The legislature should have paid for this. Now, I will tell you, in Wisconsin, they did what Arizona was asked to do, but Arizona leadership wouldn't do it, and that is they named a grandmaster, and then the state is paying for their audit. That's how it should have been. This is a state issue, but they didn't do that here. So the state of Arizona put $150,000 into this audit, and this audit was well over $5 million.
See, and that's the part that's all being...
And
that's what's all being misconstrued. They spent $5 million to certify that Biden won. That's the short headline on the whole thing.
That's not true. It's not true.
Yeah, and that's the part that people really need to wrap their mind around. Where... we have like three and a half minutes or something. So before we run up against the time bandit here, where is the best place for people to get the latest breaking stuff? Is your website keeping everything posted? Is that a good place to send people to keep track of what happens going forward?
Where you cut out?
Sorry.
Again, you cut out.
Going,
go where?
Going forward, where's the best place for people to keep track of what is current on this? Is your site going to keep track of all that?
My site will keep track, and we'll keep posting information. I'll post some other information tomorrow. Is tomorrow Monday?
Yeah, tomorrow's
Monday. I have Claire Lopez coming on to discuss national security issues. I have Senator Borelli and Representative Fincham coming on to discuss what's the next step. What you're going to hear, I'll give you a preview, is there's going to be a resolution submitted to both the House and the Senate in Arizona. Each member of the House, each member of the Senate gets the opportunity to sign off on it, to call for decertification, and also call for a special session. Those that don't sign for it, well, okay, you're going to have to answer for that, legislators, because the Arizona people and the American people are fed up. They're livid.
Yeah.
They're tired of weak-kneed, pusillanimous elected officials who will not do their job. They just care about their next office. And so to their own chagrin and to their own damage, they better decide what they're going to do if they don't sign this. Is that blackmail? Okay, whatever you say. I don't care.
Yeah.
What we have here is a really bad situation.
And now it's no longer just a...
Attorney General's been hit.
Yeah, and it isn't just the opinion of someone. It's actually all the...
No.
All the data is in, and now it has to be acted upon.
And what you're going to get... Right, and they're still going to come out with a report. It's going to be made public. If it hasn't already started, the whole 100-plus page thing will be published. You'll be able to see the whole thing. Read it yourself. The Attorney General will now has it, so I would stay up with my site would be good. I think it's Mark Fincham. You just have to look. I forget what Mark's site is, but he'll keep you posted. Also, Fincham, Mark Fincham, Representative Mark Fincham. I know his site will keep you posted. Bannon on. I hope Steve gives me an attaboy somewhere. He's got near 70 million or 75 million viewers. And listeners, I have 1.4 or 5 million. I'm catching up. I'm getting.
Well, we would appreciate any updates, and we'll post them. And
yeah, I'll give them to you guys. Yeah, I know you guys are very kind. You'll post all this stuff, so thanks.
We just want to make sure that people are getting accurate information, and we know that the name of the game is to demoralize people and tell them nobody's doing anything, nothing is going to happen, and nobody cares. And that's just not true.
And that's not true.
All right. Our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki has been with us again here talking about the Arizona audit. You can find this show commercial-free and free to listen to this afternoon. Thanks, Lyle. And here's what we hope happens as a result of the Arizona audit. We've got a song for that, too.